The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Rick Brinson, I'm your host. It is Monday, September 27th, and this is the gambling preview of the Eagles and the Cowboys. Myself and Tyler Sullivan, aka Sully. What's up, buddy? How you doing?
What's going on, Will? What's up?
What's up? We're going to cover the gambling angles of Cowboys and Eagles. We'll talk about the point spread, the total, then we'll take a break, we'll do some player props, and then we'll do some DFS. You can win $1 million playing DFS. It's very unlikely, but you can win $1 million.
You can do it. It is possible. You can go into Tuesday as a millionaire.
Man, wouldn't that be?
That would really be nice, right?
Would you? People always ask me, like, if you won $1 million, would you keep working? I'm like, yeah, of course.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, we already kind of play, you know, in the fun area of life. So
yeah, we're not working at a bus factory. Not that exactly. There's anything wrong with working at a bus factory, but like. If I worked at a bus factory and I won $1 million in DFS, it's deuces. Right?
Like we're complaining that we're tired because we watched football yesterday. Yes, like correct. We're doing okay. We're okay.
Correct. By the way, shout out to my buddy Chad at Dude Perfect.
Yeah.
He hooked up some tickets for my son and my wife who went to Dude Perfect on Sunday. I was going to go too, but you know, work. They were in Raleigh. Pretty cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. Anywho. In the feed, the full week 3 recap. And of course, coming up, we will do a Monday Night Football reaction. If you missed out on $1 million through DFS, you can still win some big time cash prizes using your football expertise. All you got to do is play football pick 'em from CBS Sports, correctly pick the entire slate of games, and you will win a $100,000 jackpot this week and every week of the season by visiting cbssports.com/picks. Even if no one wins the weekly jackpot, we're still giving away $1,000 of guaranteed cash to the winner each week and $5,000 for the season-long champ. So don't wait, make your picks, and compete for the $100,000 jackpot by visiting cbssports.com/picks today. Eagles at the Cowboys. Cowboys, a 3.5-point favorite in this game. The over-under, 51, Sully. When you, Eagles are dogs on the money line. I think they plus 150, and the Cowboys are minus 175 or thereabouts. What's your initial thought on this line?
Yeah, I like the Cowboys here. I think it opened up at 4, and it's been brought down a little bit, you know, half point to a little over a field goal, you know, essentially the same thing. It doesn't really matter to me too much there. I'd like to get it at 3 with the Cowboys, but, you know, again, you're not going to get – right now, Caesars doesn't have that. You'd really be few and far between if you can find a Dallas minus 3. But I like the Cowboys here. You know, I'm more impressed of what I've seen from them at the start of the season than I have with Philadelphia. And I think we're a little bit misguided here. And I know Debo's probably going to shut me off at some point or another. But, you know, we saw them go up against and have an impressive win in the opener against Atlanta. And then they kind of were a little bit slowed down against San Francisco. And, you know, I'm looking at both of those teams. I'm very much more confident in San Francisco and what I see from them than what I saw in Atlanta. And was it more Philadelphia's offense?
I'm confident in Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm confident that they're bad.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Very confident in knowing who Atlanta is. Right.
And so when you look at that, you say, okay, was it really, you know, was it Jalen Hurts lighting it up and doing this big, you know, second year leap? You know, now he's the starter in Philadelphia. It's his time now. Or was it just that he really is a capable quarterback that can take advantage of bad defenses? So to me, that's kind of what I'm looking at there. And I think Dallas right now is scrappy enough or, you know, has an offense that's more potent enough that can really outrun them.
Yeah, the Eagles scored 11 points against the 49ers. That's not ideal. On the other hand,
they are the 49ers. Like, it's a good defense. Let's not, you know, no, I know that last night was obviously.
And the Cowboys scored 20 against the, I mean, it's not like the Cowboys lit up the Chargers in week 2 either, you know? But I would agree with you if I were picking, you got the 4 sides, right? Offense, defense on both teams. If I'm picking one unit that I'm the most confident in, it would be the Cowboys offense.
Yeah.
Out of all 4 of these units, I don't trust the Cowboys defense still. I understand that they are probably they're probably better than they were. I don't think they're at average, do we?
No, I mean,
22nd in DVOA coming into week three.
Yeah, it's probably
they moved up from like scum bottom of the barrel to flotsam. You know,
right. If we're talking about like that lower third tier of the league, they're no longer at the bottom of that tier. They're at the top of that tier. So they're technically a top tier. It's just the tier that they're in is at the bottom of the league.
But that's an important jump, though, for Dallas. Because they need to get to around average if they want to win the division. They certainly can't. I think either one of these teams can.
And so this is something that I think is important, too. I know RJ pointed it out on Sportsline. You know, he's got some great stuff over there. But you have to look at what we were looking at going into the regular season. The Dallas Cowboys were the favorites to win this division, and the Eagles were ranked last to win the NFC East. Again, a lot can change. There's value, obviously, anywhere across the board. But there is a reason why Dallas was looked at as the favorite going into this. And again, they are that offense is just so potent that it can jump in front of some of these offenses, you know, these opposing teams, and really jump out to a significant lead and cover.
Yeah. I'm going to take the Eagles. You guys are making me worried about this. I'm going to take the Eagles.
Just no, it's good.
If I'm getting a field goal on the hook
in
a division game, I don't see Dallas blowing them out. I don't think Dallas's defense is good enough to stop the Eagles from getting back into the game. Now, I do worry a little bit that, to your point about them getting ahead, us getting ahead of ourselves on Jalen Hurts and the Eagles after that Atlanta game. You know,
yeah.
Like, well, we were all wrong. The Eagles are great, and Jalen Hurts is making some crazy leap forward, and then it's just not. And you are right, R.J. White, who is 23-11 in his last 34 NFL picks. My.
Yeah, he's doing pretty well.
Yeah, Emory Hunt, also a friend of the pod, of course, likes the Cowboys as well. You can check out their picks, sportsline.com/join. Use promo code EDGE. It's your first month for $1. But I just want, in a primetime divisional matchup like this, I want the 3 points, especially the 3.5, excuse me, especially if it's a situation where Mike McCarthy's on the other side of the ball. And he's going to be conservative, and he's going to kick field goals. I mean, the dude played for a 56-yarder with Greg the Leg, who had been like going full Madden and blitzing balls to the left, like, you know, 40 yards to the left of the upright. So I just don't think they'll be that aggressive. Their offensive line, of course, is good, but Philly's defensive line is really good, and Philly's eighth in DVOA. Maybe I might like. What do you think about this total? It is currently. What did I say it was?
Some in the 50s, right?
51.5.
Yeah.
You just don't want to get in the front of that, but it feels like this could go under.
Yeah, it's one of those games where it could go under. Again, like we're saying, if we're leaning towards the run here, if we're feeling like a Tony Pollard, Zeke, Miles Sanders, Jalen Hurts type of game here, then obviously that would trend to be the under. One thing that I do think is worthy of pointing out too, there's a few injuries that are at play here for both sides. Obviously, Keanu Neal for the Dallas Cowboys isn't going to play. It'll be interesting to see what they do with Micah Parsons. Do they move him back from defensive end when they played him last week? Now that Randy Gregory's back, do they move him back to middle linebacker, or is that more Leighton Vander Esch? We'll have to see what that kind of looks like there with Dallas, but also Philadelphia and Debo could probably even speak to this too. But like Fletcher Cox has been dealing with an illness. Brandon Brooks is also going to be out on the O-line. So to me, a lot of significant injuries there, especially for the Eagles.
Brandon Graham's out too.
So, you know, that's, you know, those are some significant things for Philadelphia on the defensive and offensive lines for them. Mm. So certainly something to point out.
No, that's a good point. Graham and Brooks are big, important players for those lines. Oh, boy.
And again, too, you know, if you want some trends here, I just got them for you. Eagles. Right.
I don't feel confident about either side of this game.
No, it's tough.
I'm looking at it, I'm thinking under, but you don't really want to get in the way of a Dallas under. Like, you don't want to, like,
right.
A Cowboys game can go over in a heartbeat because you
You could look up, you know, when we're midway through the first quarter and Dallas is already hanging 14 points, you know, Philly's driving for 7. You're like, okay, here we go. We're cruising towards the over.
I mean, you just get a deep shot to Devontae Smith or Jalen Reagor, and then, you know, the CeeDee Lamb answers right back, and suddenly it's 7 all with, you know, 5 minutes into the game.
And just a few things to point out, like I was saying, Eagles 1-4 ATS in their last 5 meetings. The favorite is 8-3 against the spread in their last 11, and the home team is 5-0 against the spread in their last 5. Again, division rivals, they're playing each other all the time, so certainly something to point out.
And as Debo points out, the rugby playing tackle, Jordan Mailata, is all. Did you mention him? You mentioned him too, didn't you?
No, I didn't mention him.
He's out.
Okay.
So Brandon Brooks, Why can I not just find an immediate Eagles injury report up here? Give it to me, people. Come on. Give it to me. Debo. Good news, though. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside appears to be on track to play. So that's
very exciting.
Yes.
Debo, what are your thoughts on this spread, by the way? I'm not used to talking about the Eagles without just like Debo's voice in the sky coming down.
Just chirping in. Never going to like convince myself that the Eagles don't have a shot against the rival Cowboys, but I'm really concerned about those injuries on both sides of the line.
Oh.
My lotto was the highest graded offensive lineman last week going up against Bosa on the Niners. So he's been awesome. The drop off, you would think, you know, a former first round pick steps in at left tackle and it's okay, but I don't know if that'll be the case. So that's concerning. I'm still going to pick the Eagles, but I have concerns about the injuries already.
Cowboys injury report looks pretty clean too. Amari Cooper, really, I think Donovan Wilson, Dorrance Armstrong, and Carlos Watkins are the other ones out.
Wilson Lawrence.
But you do have to throw in Keanu Neal there, too, because he's on the COVID list. So that does change things there as well. He's not on the injury report, but he's on the COVID list. He's not playing in this game.
Right, who'd you say?
Keanu Neal.
Oh, right. Yeah, he's out. Yeah, he's going to be out. Yeah, I mean, DeMarcus Lawrence being out, yeah. Here's the other reason I don't know if I'd want to get in the way of – the other reason I might like the under. If Mailata and Brandon Brooks are both going to be missing, and Jason Kelce is, you know, didn't practice some that during the week and was limited for a foot injury and Booker's arrest, I mean, are the Eagles going to score more than 21 points?
Yeah. That's a tough ask. It is a tough ask.
I mean, you think you can do it against the Cowboys, but golly, now I'm completely petrified of the friggin' Cowboys. What is happening?
Well, I don't have the trends in front of me, but again, it's really just how you feel about both offenses, in my opinion. I think at this point with the defenses, with the injuries on with Philadelphia and Dallas just being Dallas, are you confident in, you know, not even the, you know, yeah, you need about 21 points from Philadelphia. Do you feel like they can do it? I don't know. We've seen it 1 week, and we've seen that against a really bad defense in the Falcons, and then against a really good defense, they were able to score, you know, barely in the double digits. So, you know, which one is Dallas?
So the Cowboys are -160 to win the NFC East. That is a lot higher than I expected to see. Mm-hmm. The Eagles are next at +350. Wow. Washington +450, New York 14-1.
Washington, to me, is the one that took the biggest fall. I thought that their defense would be much better this year.
Oh, for sure. But I'm saying, I mean, if the Cowboys win this game, if you'd like the Cowboys to win the division and the Cowboys win this game, they will be -250.
100%. 100%.
And whoever wins this game is going to be the favorite to win the division. Mm-hmm. Cowboys would probably fall back to like +125 if they lose. So if you do want to bet on the Cowboys to win the NFC East, now would be the time to do it. If you also think that the Cowboys are going to win this evening. All right, so I have a lean Philly, but I'm not feeling great about it, especially Debo's little milk toast endorsement. Or non-endorsement? I don't even know what that was.
That's a non-endorsement. That is
you should bet on the Cowboys, but I can't say that.
Right, I am not going to go against the Eagles, but I don't love
I might put a lunker on the Cowboys now that Debo's like...
No, Eagles 24, Cowboys 21. Nice Jake Elliott field goal to cap things off.
All right. So under. Do you like the under there, right? Do you have
Yeah, I would definitely lean that way.
All this right. has been the weekend of the kicker. So yeah, let's do one more.
Weekend for John Breach. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, player props and DFS. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Okay. I really just need to stop picking overs. I don't know why. It's just, I don't, I'm not good.
It's fun. It's fun to bet the over because you're rooting for the players. Like, you know, when I face like New England Patriots players that my friends have in their fantasy team, I'm like, you want them to suck because, you know, you want to
win. You don't really want to root against.
But also you don't want to root against your home team. It's basically correct. The same thing there.
Okay. I do know that we both have unders on one certain player. And I think this is interesting, but you know, it is. It's Zeke Elliott. In week one, 83% of the snaps played against Tampa Bay. And not an unreasonable or wild number for a highly paid running back, although you think it'd be closer to 90. Week two against the Chargers in a 3-point game. 71% of the snaps. Tony Pollard is eating into his playing time in a big, big way. Zeke's receiving, when you look at his receiving in the past few years, it had spiked up in 2018. And then, 71 targets each of the last 2 years, 4 targets through 2 games. That's not on pace for 71. I don't know if you know how that works. I will take the under on Zeke receptions at 2.5. It was plus money earlier in the week. It is now, I think, minus 135. That's a lot of juice. Maybe the implied math tells you should go over, but they're just not using him in a pass catching role. And I don't expect for him to get more than 3 receptions. So I will take the under on Zeke Elliott receptions. You also have a Zeke Elliott under.
Yeah, I'm down on Zeke on this one. You know, I'm down, you know, if you just look at from a statistical standpoint, like you've been alluding to, hasn't been as productive as he's been in years past. And I like the under on his 82.5 rushing and receiving yards. So basically yards from scrimmage at minus 120. I just don't see him, or I see Tony Pollard being a more increasing role as the weeks go on here. Yes. His snap stayed relatively the same last week, Tony Pollard. It was around 20-21 from week one to week two.
Number of snaps. Yes.
Number of snaps, but the percentage went up 10%. So, you know, again, you got to look at the game flow. You got to look at how things have changed.
13 carries.
When you look at how Tony Pollard has been in that backfield, he's just clearly the better back. If you were just an alien and you came down from Earth and watched the Dallas Cowboys and said, which one has the big money contract out of these two running backs? Every single alien from Mars would say Tony Pollard.
It's a spaceship situation where you come down, you watch the Cowboys, and you have to pick a back to take with you to play as your running back.
Space Jam scenario, Monstars, who you taking?
You're definitely taking Tony Pollard.
100%.
He looks more explosive. Yeah, he looks better, but I do wonder how far Mike McCarthy could push this, or how far Kellen Moore could push this, and who is pushing this, if it's them, because Jerry Jones is not a big fan of, not playing his high Zeke's still getting 70%+ of the snaps. It's not a big deal. And you can always sell it as, hey, we're just trying to keep the guy fresh, which I assume is what they would try to do. But, Tony Pollard, three receptions on 3 targets, averaging 10 yards per catch last week, and also averaging over 8.4 yards per rush. The guy's just explosive.
He hasn't missed a target yet. You're saying he was 3-for-3 last week. He was 4-for-4 in week one. Yep. When Dak Prescott looks his way, he's coming up clutch. Again, is that going to continue throughout the season? No, he's probably going to miss. They're going to miss on one or two of them, obviously, at some point or another. But right now, he is the hot back in the receiving game. So, this is why I like going against Ezekiel Elliott, because if I feel like Tony Pollard's role is only going to increase as these weeks go on, well, then Zeke Elliott's role is going to decrease. So this is why I'm leaning towards the over, and we'll talk about some of the Pollard props that I like that are over in this one. But again, I don't see Zeke, whether it's in the receiving game or in the rushing game, topping 80 something yards. I just don't see it. So that's why I'm going under.
Why is that? Tony Pollard's over under total for receptions is 2.5 as well. It's kind of interesting. I'm not sure that we feel comfortable projecting more than that. Probably not.
Because he's only, because I mean, he only, again, we're talking about him being efficient in the receiving game.
Yeah.
But we're talking about three targets last week and four targets in week one. That's that is still not a significantly high number. It's solid for a back, especially that someone who is catching all of those. But when we're talking about, is he going to be able to go and continue to be that efficient? That volume would need to increase for me to really feel comfortable about that over on the receptions.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Even though I do like it, because right now it's plus money, right? Or at least when I saw it. So it's plus money.
Yeah, it's drifted back to basically like even or whatever.
But so yeah. So, you know, again, if you're getting some significant value there, then sure, roll the dice. Let's see if he can do it. But ultimately, you know, you are towing a line a little bit because his looks haven't really been crazy in the passing game. He's just been extremely efficient so far.
I'll stick with another receptions prop, and I will take the over on Amari Cooper receptions. Is it five and a half? By the way, look at those. I'm messing with you. But if you look at the passing touchdown props, you can go to receptions, but I'm just saying the passing touchdown props are heavily juiced to the under.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting. You know, Dak minus 170 under 2.5. Jalen Hurts minus 140 under 1.5. I just point that out from a standpoint of this game has a total of 51.5.
Right.
Which is a lot of points because it's the Cowboys. It's the Eagles. It's Monday night. Nobody, you know, they're not going to project it for 47.5 and then everyone's slamming the over. Right? They're getting a nice even wagering on the over and the under. But to the receptions prop, I will take the over on Amari Cooper, 5.5 receptions. I understand it's a lot, but I tend to think the Cowboys will attack through the air early on because it's harder to run against the Eagles with, you know, Fletcher Cox in that front, even with Brandon Graham missing. So I anticipate them throwing the ball to Amari Cooper early and often. I think you can attack the Eagles in the secondary, and I like that over.
No, this is a good, you know, get right game for Cooper, who had, you know, three catches.
He's way better at home for some reason.
Yeah.
He always has been. Yeah.
You know, three catches, five targets last week, only for 24 yards after just a bananas week one against the Buccaneers where he had 16 targets, caught 13 of them. So, no, he's certainly capable of putting up a pretty healthy number in the receptions department. And I do think that this is one of those games where, like you said, I think Dallas is probably going to throw it around a little bit more. And obviously Cooper is a huge piece to that passing game and does play well at home.
What you got next, Sully?
I'm going to stick in the backfield. I like Pollard's over for rushing and receiving yards, 52.5. Again, it's very simple in my logic, where if I think Zeke's going down and not playing to the level that we know Zeke, well, then somebody's going to have to take over those carries, and I think that's going to be Tony Pollard. At some point, I don't think it's going to be, like we were saying, I don't think it's going to be this, you know, 50-50 split or anything like that, but can Pollard make it a 65-45, a 70-30 that's just highly efficient in these games? And he's rushed for over, you know, what was it, 109 yards last week. He had 29 receptions in week one, receiving yards in week one, 31 receiving yards in week two. He's just so involved both as a runner in the backfield and in the receiving game that it just gives me a ton of confidence that he can, you know, if he rushes for 30 yards and has, you know, two catches for 10 yards, I mean, I'm pretty much in the ballpark there of hitting that over. And that's a very limited Tony Pollard in the Cowboys offense. And I'm expecting his role to only increase again, like we talked about with his percentages and the snap counts going from week one to week two. I just like how he's evolving, and it's going to just, to me, that's going to go higher.
All right. I got a couple Eagles, or I got three over receiving yards. And this is not that I think this is going to be a shootout by taking these overs. I look at these numbers and believe that they are mispriced. We'll start with one for the Cowboys, and you can see us. You can see these, by the way, on Caesars as we mess with them. If you're on YouTube.com/pick6, and if you are watching on YouTube, please hit the like button, comment your favorite prop. If it hits, we'll give you a shout out or some such. I like Blake Jarwin over receiving yards 24.5. It's just low. I think you look at these, Dalton Schultz and Blake Jarwin, both going to be involved in the passing game at the tight end position. And you can clear 24.5 pretty easily. Similarly, go to the Eagles over receiving yards. I'm going to take the over on Jalen Reagor at 39.5. That's juiced at minus 120. I expect that to climb up a little bit. He's a deep play threat. They get the ball down the field. Hurts really appears to trust him. And that number, as I was saying, it's probably like about 6 yards too low. So I think we can clear that at 39.5. And then Zach Ertz, 17.5. You kidding me?
Welcome back, Zach Ertz.
Yeah, welcome back, Zach Ertz. I look, Dallas Goedert's a better tight end. No doubt about it. But, you know, Zach Ertz is going to play in somewhere around 60% of the snaps for the Eagles this week. And he's going to get, you know, three or four targets. I would expect that they try to attack these linebackers with the tight ends, you know, open things up in the screen game, open things up for Jalen Hurts to run. And as such, I'll take the over at 17.5. I'm not looking for a 100-yard game out of Zach Ertz. I'm looking for a 20-yard game out of Zach Ertz. As Debo notes in Slack to me, we don't know if there are any lingering effects for COVID situation, but obviously if that's the case, this would be a problem. But 17.5 feels very short to me.
Yeah, no, I'm there with you. Again, he's going to have a role somewhere in the passing game. And like you said, it's not going. You're not saying, hey, light it up and win me a week in DFS and win me a week in fantasy. It's can you get two, three catches for 10 yards or whatever, or, you know, whatever it's going to be, you know, so that's, you're not asking a lot for Zach Ertz in this one. The one that I like with Philadelphia is Jalen Hurts is over rushing prop. It's 54.5. It's pretty high, but sure. he's gone over that total both times this season. And I'm really interested to see what, and I kind of alluded to it earlier in the pod, but like what Dallas is going to do defensively with Keanu Neal out. He was arguably their most athletic linebacker. In terms of how are they going to spy Jalen Hurts and if Micah Parsons is going to move back from defensive end to linebacker, is it going to be Leighton Vander Esch, who certainly hasn't lived up to that first round draft billing? What's Randy Gregory going to look like as he comes back from COVID? I just do have some interest into that linebacker unit and what they are going to do to contain Jalen Hurts. And are they able to going to be to contain Jalen Hurts? To me, I think that this one is kind of sneaky high, but ultimately I do think he's going to be able to run around and be able to create some plays with his legs and get over this total.
Yeah, and if the Eagles are trailing,
yep,
which I think, I guess we're kind of building into the game script, in a lower scoring game, it stands to reason that Jalen Hurts will use his legs significantly. I mean, this is probably a pretty good number, but I don't get in the way of rushing yard totals for guys like Lamar Jackson or Jalen Hurts, guys who run a lot and who scramble and run around. I have no interest. Kyler Murray, I'm just not taking the under on him.
Right.
Because one run and all of a sudden he picks up 25 yards and this thing is going way, way over. So don't have a problem with that. I would expect we see something in the range of 9 to 10 rushing attempts for Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I think he's had like 7 and 10 this season. So yeah, that's right around his season average.
And we saw it a lot more in week one, I think, than in week two, where they used RPOs and stuff to make Jalen Hurts more comfortable. I wouldn't be surprised at all with against a softer defense,
yep,
like the Cowboys, if Nick Sirianni didn't go back to that and just force these linebackers to make decisions and try and sort of open up the run game for Miles Sanders by virtue of using these RPOs, etc. All right. I feel bad because I should be giving these out on the podcast more frequently. I don't know why we didn't, but I'm on a three game primetime first TD stretch where we've hit up Sam Darnold, Davante Adams last night. Now you had to lay the lumber with Davante Adams because he was 7-1, which was kind of crazy too.
Yeah.
Let's look at some first touchdown props here. I'm not saying this is like my specialty, but I seem to hit them on a fairly regular basis.
I like it. That's great.
So when I'm doing a first TD prop, I try to stay 10-1 or higher. So that rules out, of course. I mean, you could go Amari Cooper at 7-1. That's just a pretty, given the plethora of receiving options for the Cowboys, I don't like Amari Cooper at 7-1 or CeeDee Lamb at 6.5-1. I have no interest in Zeke at +575. If they get on the 1 yard line or something, they could absolutely run him. And Miles Sanders +675. No thanks. Get out of here. Let's hit view more, which you can see on Caesars, Debo. I'll start the bidding at Jalen Hurts at 10-1. Give me some Jalen Hurts at 10-1. If you're betting on a first touchdown score and you have a double digit number on a quarterback with any sort of rushing capacity, that needs to be on your card. If you were trying to have a first touchdown prop scorer card, this happens all the time. Like Aaron Rodgers last night, was 30, and we're thinking quarterback sneak, and he just throws a quick one to Adams for the touchdown. But Jalen Hurts and Dak Prescott. Dak was 18-1 earlier. Jalen Hurts has actually climbed back to 10-1. He was 9-1 earlier. So, but Jalen Hurts, and scroll down a little bit deeper, and we'll see. I just want to see what Dak Prescott's at. He is at just under 18-1. Both of those guys need to be bet if you're betting first touchdown score, because they're double-digit quarterbacks who they will use an RPO or bootleg fashion near the end zone. And neither of these offensive coordinators or these coaches are afraid to let those guys run, even with Dak's injury history. I also have Tony Pollard, I think, at 10-1 now. You're basically fading Zeke at 6-1 and saying, all right, I want double digits on Tony Pollard. They might use him in the red zone. They might throw a little quick hitter to him. I also have two other Eagles because I don't love the Cowboys prices are just too inflated here.
Yeah.
Even if they're the better team, you don't think the Eagles can get the ball first, come out with a great script and move it down the field. Give me Jalen Reagor at 16-1. He was earlier. Is he vanished into, he's evaporated. He's no longer on the list of first touchdown scores. What the hell? He was there this morning. And Dallas Goedert's also gone.
Where's Devontae Smith somewhere?
Oh, Devontae Smith's on the, that's weird. Why did all the Eagles pass catchers go away? Okay. I don't know why the hell that happened.
But I'm with you. I like Jalen Hurts. That's who I put in last night when we were sending the messages back and forth to Debo. I had it 9-1. Like, you know, this is, I love that that's going up. Sure. Let's get some more value on that. Like you said, like if you have a guy that's is a weapon with his feet in the red zone, this is not a, you know, this isn't Tom Brady, you know, even though he can sometimes do that at the one or whatever, but like, this is a guy that they want to feature.
Tom's a bad example, but like this is.
I know, it's a bad example.
Yeah, Tom's actually a great bet.
Yeah, he's a really great.
Matt Ryan. This isn't Matt Ryan. He's not probably not even going to run in from the one. You know, Tom Brady at least is going to sneak from the one if you get past
interference. Yeah,
this is Matt Ryan. You got Ben Roethlisberger, no rush, no first touchdown equity whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott, huge first touchdown equity.
Love it. That's who I'm riding with going into this.
All right. What about a lottery prop?
That was my lottery prop.
Right. That's perfect.
It was plus 900. Now it's 10-1. I love it.
You love it when the more lottery, like you thought you're gonna be a millionaire, now you're a billionaire. That's how the lottery works, I was told. I will take as my lottery prop, and we're generally speaking like 3-1 or 4-1, anything better. You know, we're just trying to make some cash. Devontae Smith scores a touchdown and the Eagles win 5-1. I feel like that's decent odds, right? Maybe it should be like 7-1. I don't know. I think there's a good chance Devontae Smith gets in the end zone because they love targeting him. And I buy in the 24-21 Kool-Aid that Debo's spilling all over the floor in sloppy Eagles fashion. Okay, let's get to DFS. Look at me. Already somehow loaded up DraftKings. What a surprise. Just don't expect any sort of preparation around these parts. And yet, here we go. So, DraftKings. We have, of course, Dak Prescott and Jalen Hurts are the two priciest quarterbacks. I don't believe, Sully, that any of these primetime showdown slates that we have seen a quarterback be the optimal captain yet this year, which is very interesting. Hmm. You know, people want to gravitate towards quarterbacks. These guys are really expensive. If you try to put them into your lineup, you're gonna minimize what you're able to do. Do you like one of these two guys as your captain, or do you tend to swerve in a different direction?
I don't, just because, just like what you're saying, it's really tough to create a competitive roster when you have one of those quarterbacks as your captain. To me, I like Amari Cooper as the captain for this one. I think that he is a great play, 13,500. Going into this, and that way you can fit both quarterbacks and have a relatively, you know, decent lineup around them. You know, I have a lineup where it's, you know, Jarwin, you have Devonta Smith, and then you have Zerline. You know, nothing crazy. It's not like I'm, you know, lighting the world on fire, but I have action on both of those offenses with Jalen Hurts and Dak Prescott. Cooper, as we talked about, great opportunity for a bounce back game for him. And, you know, 16 targets in week one, even if he gives me half that with the efficiency that he had in the opener against the Buccaneers, I will be really happy as a captain owner with Amari Cooper. Again, both quarterbacks. And if we're talking about potentially a low scoring game, maybe field goals, that's what I'm talking about with Zuerlein as well.
All right. So I don't hate that at all. This is going to be more than likely. This is not something I like doing, but I think it's at least worth considering. Is there any chance that the Eagles defense, and you almost need a defensive touchdown or a really shockingly low scoring game, or even the Cowboys defense, maybe that's the play.
Certainly low ownership.
There's going to be really low ownership in terms of the captaincy and in terms of general.
Yes, captaincy.
And I'm just thinking like a full blown Cowboys bloodbath on the Eagles. So your Cowboys defense is the captain. Get Amari Cooper in there. We got Tony. And then you got to find – and then we can't do Jalen Hurts, but we get Devontae Smith in there. I don't know that I love that lineup, but I don't know that I hate that lineup.
Right.
I don't think the Cowboys defense is necessarily – I mean, again, I don't think the Cowboys defense is necessarily good. I'm just thinking if you want a contrarian way to get access to all of the Cowboys offensive players, it would be using – someone like the Cowboys defense as your captain and hoping that Dallas limits Philadelphia or that Philadelphia struggles because of Philadelphia's offensive line woes. They can't generate any sort of real offense. And this turns into a 27 to or 24 to 10 game. And you actually get points from the Cowboys defense. Again, it's so insane. And it depends on like contest selection matters here, right?
Right, right.
If you're playing in this, you know, the Millie Maker, you're not going to be a special unicorn with Dak Prescott as your captain.
Exactly.
Even Amari Cooper's your captain, or even Devontae Smith. I thought I was so smart when I put Trey Sermon as my captain on Sunday Night Football. Turns out he was like 18% owned or like 20 because he was so cheap that people wanted access to the other guys up top. And so that's sort of what you have to be careful with is if you go with Dak as your captain, you know, he's so expensive, one, that you're not going to have access to a lot of other players. And then two, everyone and their brother is going to stack this Cowboys thing, bring it back with Jalen Hurts and like Quez
insert receiver, whoever it's going to be.
Yeah. Now,
my question for you would be, what do you think is more contrarian with the captaincy? Do you think it would be Ezekiel Elliott or Tony Pollard?
Which
one do you think is going to have less captaincy ownership?
Good question. I would think that at just an $800 discount, it would be Zeke Elliott. But I mean, I would think, right?
Because if you think about it, this is kind of what my brain is going through. Right.
Well, it's a $1,200 discount for the captains. I don't know the answer to that, but I would think more people would go Zeke. But maybe for $1,200, you go Tony Pollard as the captain.
I'm a slave to the storylines. I really am. And if we are going to see what we saw in week three, where all of these running backs, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, James Robinson, all of these players, you know, Najee Harris, Antonio Gibson, even a lot of these first round borderline back, you know, top of the second round.
I'm saying a light side, not what you're saying. Sorry.
top of the second round fantasy running backs that were all drafted really high, haven't lived up to expectations, all played really well in week, and Saquon Barkley's another one, all played really well in week three. Could Zeke Elliott follow suit and all of a sudden say, oh yeah, Zeke Elliott, pretty good running back after all.
So you're saying that you think that Tony Pollard could be the popular?
I'm saying Tony Pollard could be the popular play because he's just kind of the fancy name right now. Everybody's feeling savvy, like you were saying. You know, everybody, you're feeling really smart going with Tony Pollard as your captain, like you were doing with Trey Sermon as your captain last night. A lot of high ownership. Maybe everybody fades Zeke. You throw him in there, and he follows the wave of all of these running backs this week that haven't lived up to expectations prior to week three. All of a sudden, start showing out, and you're sitting there with a first round running back season long who's dominating against the Philadelphia Eagles and kind of reestablishing himself as the lead running back. You know, that's a storyline I think it's worth following.
So I actually think this is a good call by you. And we don't know what the, I'm going to see, let me see if I can find somewhere that's got projected ownership up. Cause I don't think that, you know, we recorded this earlier in the morning and, you know, you don't always have, you know, access to various sites with the projected ownership. I might be able to find one. Hold on a second. Yes, but to your point, I think it's interesting to consider that everyone will want to go down to Tony Pollard as their captain if they are going with that running back, because he's trending up in terms of his snaps. You know, he's averaging 6 more fantasy points in DraftKings scoring than Zeke per week over the first 2 weeks of the season. You save the money that can, you know, that $1,200 is huge.
Yeah.
Because you save. And so if you go Zeke, now, if you go Zeke, do you also have probably no on Pollard? I do think you want to have, if you're going Zeke Elliott, if you're going to have Zeke as your captain, I think you want to operate under the assumption that this is a Cowboys win where they are running the ball late, right?
Probably, yeah.
So they have points. But you also need to have plenty of, do we need Jalen Hurts in there? I think you probably need Hurts because of his rushing equity.
Yeah.
And then you got 3,100 left over. At this point with the Zeke, Dak, and Amari, I probably, I can't do Jalen Reagor. Gonna have to do, I could do Quez Watkins. Quez Watkins is gonna be a popular sleeper too, I think.
Yeah, caught a big catch last week. He's certainly gonna be one that can fill a lot of rosters.
Yeah. So we could either go Greg Zuerlein, Cowboys defense, or Blake Jarwin. We could do Blake Jarwin and Zach Ertz. With two little tight ends there. Low scoring game. Actually can even pay up for a little bit more if we wanted off Ertz. Yeah. Look at that 2013 fantasy all-star team. I don't mind that lineup. I think that's kind of, I don't think it's going to be unique. I don't think it's going to be like completely unique, but you know, you have access to 3 big time playmakers for the Cowboys, a secondary playmaker in Blake Jarwin. Zach Ertz is coming back from the COVID list and is the number 2 tight end on this team that people are not going to want to play. Jalen Hurts, you want to have Devontae Smith and Jalen Reagor in there, but it's also possible that Javon Diggs has a great game and, you know, Dan Quinn cooks up enough where they keep those Eagles receivers from playing really well. And you know, it's mostly Jalen Hurts running around and trying to create with his legs, and it turns into a Cowboys blowout where Zeke runs the ball into the ground at the end. And I do think if they have a lead, it will be Zeke closing the game out, right?
Yes. I think it would have to be, right? You know, yeah. he's just been that guy. And again, you know, we're talking about trying to find a way where there's the low, you know, not the lowest ownership possible for the captain spot, but we're just trying to find value in that.
You want to have a unique captain who, no, I think Zeke is a good, I think Zeke is a good.
Right. I just don't want to sound, I don't want to sound like I'm talking on both sides of my mouth where I'm saying earlier, take the under on all of Zeke's props and then, you know, oh yeah, make him your captain as well. No, we're talking about value.
Just because you think a game is going to, like, if you're entering a contest, there's $15 and there's 200,000 people in the contest and it's $1 million to first place, you know, we're talking about these props where we think the game script's going to go this way and Zeke's not a good, you know, we like the unders on Zeke. Well, you know what? You know who else likes the unders on Zeke? Everyone in that contest. And so if you you have to kind of be a weirdo and go the opposite way that your brain is telling you, even though it says, no, go this way. And that's what that's the whole point of being contrarian. I don't
just
mind that.
Just play DFS like a George Costanza. Just do the opposite.
Chicken salad on weight. Should I enter with crowns or dollars? Dollars. I'm putting that one in. I like
that. Sounds like a personal decision.
I don't know why I like my crowns. I mean, I can't use 8,000 crowns here. I don't even know what the hell crowns are. Thanks, Debo, for turning that off. So anyway, it's your crowns, bro. That's the show. Sorry. I don't know why I keep turning these into like 40-minute shows, but I like them. They're good. I think we're doing pretty well.
I think we're doing well. I don't have the tracker in front of me.
We should probably start tracking it.
Yeah, I should.
We have a good producer who had tons of free time on his hands who could track it for us. I'll go back and tally up all the prop bets from the last few weeks.
And if they're terrible, well, then just say you never did it. Just say you never did it.
All right, let's stay hot. Enjoy the game. Talk to you on Thursday.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.